Thank you, Pastor Life, again for inviting us here. We really, really enjoyed. I mean, your food is—it's really, really good. I have to confess, indeed.
Ja, es smager meget godt. Tak for det, Mathias.
I have planned to conduct this Bible class in the following way.
Jeg har planlagt vores bibelstudie således.
Yeah, we will first pay some attention to our reading from the epistle for today. Then we can talk about the situation in our churches, and then also I have a request to talk about church in Latvia a bit, and so we can also pay some attention to that. Sorry for talking.
No, you need to. That's okay. Min plan er nu, at vi først tager fat i Efeserbrevet kapitel 5, som var søndagens læsning fra apostelbrevene, og derefter så bringer jeg noget omkring livet i vores kirker, hvordan vi deler evangeliet med andre, og til sidst også lidt om kirken i Letland, som jeg er blevet inviteret til at sige lidt om.
And probably it would be good to read it once again, the reading in your
language. Her, dem, der ikke har Bibel med, kan få den her i søndagens tekster. Der er en engelsk og en dansk version. Og lad os læse teksten på dansk. I skal ligne Gud som hans kære børn og vandre i kærlighed, ligesom Kristus elskede os og gav sig selv hen for os som en gave og et offer til Gud, en livlig duft. Men utugt og al slags urenhed, griskhed, må end ikke nævnes i blandt jer. Det sømmer sig ikke for hellige. Heller ikke skamløshed og tåbelig snak eller overfladisk vid. Det passer sig ikke, men derimod taksigelse. For det skal I vide, at ingen utugtig eller uren eller grisk, det er det samme som afgudstyrker, har lod og del i Kristi og Guds rige. Lad ingen føre jer bag lyset med tomme ord, for det er den slags, der nedkalder Guds vrede over ulydighedens børn. Gør derfor ikke fælles sag med dem. For engang var I mørke, men nu er I lys i Herren. Lev som lysets børn, for lysets frugt er lutter godhed, retfærdighed og sandhed.
We spoke before about the necessity of dividing the God's law and the gospel.
I prædikenen hørte vi om betydningen af at dele Guds ord i loven og evangeliet.
And I would argue that this is one of those places where it is absolutely necessary in a sense.
Og jeg vil påstå, at når vi læser den tekst her, så er det meget vigtigt, at vi deler mellem lov og evangelium.
You can definitely find both, but then they need to be distinguished.
Vi finder i den her tekst der begge dele, og vi er nødt til at skelne mellem dem.
Now let's just talk or think about briefly, how are we doing in this regard regarding the demands of the law?
Og lad os nu et øjeblik overveje, hvordan har vi det med Guds krav til os i loven?
How are you doing regarding the imitating of God?
Hvordan klarer I det at skulle efterligne og være Guds børn?
All right. How? Then next question is, it says walk in love. How are you doing in that regard? How are you fulfilling that commandment?
Og der står jo også, at I skal vandre i kærlighed. Spørgsmålet er, hvordan klarer I det? Hvordan går det med at vandre i kærlighed?
Paul also speaks about sexual immorality, impurity. How we are doing in that respect?
Der er også tale om utugt og al slags urenhed og griskhed. Hvordan har I det med det?
Especially nowadays with the easy access to internet and to all kinds of stuff available.
Og vi har jo i de her år en meget let adgang til alt muligt skidt på internet.
Paul also speaks about filthiness, crude joking, which is out of place.
Der er også tale om skamløshed, tåbelig snak, overfladisk videre, altså grimme vittigheder.
And I think all of us at some point of life, let's say, we have spoken some foolishness, right? We are not immune to that.
Og vi er alle sammen jo ikke immune over for det her. Vi kender til det. Det vedrører os.
And can you imagine, Paul is not even permitting that. He is saying no foolish talk.
Paulus siger ingen tåbelig snak.
So how are we doing in this regard?
Hvordan går det her?
As it was not enough when the attack of the law is launched.
Og så om det ikke var nok, nu har vi hørt lovens angreb på os.
Paul concludes with by saying, you know, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's quite sharp, isn't it?
Så kommer jo oven i det, så kommer i slutningen af vers 5, at han siger, at dem, som gør sådan, har ikke lod og del i Guds rige. Det er jo ret hårdt.
If God requires perfect obedience to him, who can stand against his demands?
Når nu Gud kræver fuldstændig lydighed overfor ham, hvem kan så stå mål med Guds krav?
And what about this love? He starts by saying, you know, walk in love. If that is demand, how can we possibly fulfill it? Can we love on the request or on the demand?
Der står jo også i vers 2, I skal vandre i kærlighed. Det er et krav til os. Hvordan kan vi leve op til det?
Is it even possible? What are we talking about there, you know?
Er det virkelig muligt, det her? Hvad taler han om?
And I remember Luther wrote in his early career the Heidelberg dissertation thesis.
Jeg husker, at Martin Luther han skrev i på et tidligt tidspunkt i 1518 i Heidelberger teserne.
It all ends with a debate about love.
Og der siger han til sidst, der taler han til sidst om kærligheden.
And basically what Luther says there is that because we cannot love ugly things, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it's all about. We basically, without God, we cannot love.
Og der siger Martin Luther i slutningen, at uden Gud, der har vi ikke kærlighed.
Basically what he's saying, we as humans, we can love only something which is appealing, something which is nice, pretty, and things like that. We don't have this ability to love naturally, so to say, things that which are ugly, no?
Menneskeligt talt, så evner vi mennesker kun at elske det, som er elskværdigt, som ser smukt ud, som er skønt. Det drages man imod, men vi formår ikke af vores natur at elske det, der er grimt.
We can only find love in something that is appealing to us. And that's the way it is. After the fall, that's how we as humans function.
Efter syndefaldet, så fungerer vi mennesker således, at vi elsker kun det, der appellerer til os.
But it is not so with the love of God. And Luther specifically says that God is able to create love even within, let's say, ugly things, you know.
Men sådan er det ikke med Guds kærlighed. Og Gud, han kan i sin kærlighed også skabe kærlighed hos mennesker til det grimme.
When you think about that, you know, all sin is ugly in essence.
Og det gælder jo, at al synd er grimt.
And Luther says that God's love can create this love, so to say, it finds us. God's love finds us and then creates love also in us.
Guds kærlighed, den finder os, som er blevet grimme på grund af synden, og så skaber han også kærlighed i os.
But for that to happen, we sort of, you know, as I mentioned in the sermon, you know, if we are full of ourselves, then God cannot really find a place in us, so to say.
Men som også er nævnt i prædiken, når vi er fulde af os selv, så bliver der ikke plads, så kan Gud ikke skabe i os.
Only if we come in front of God acknowledging that we are sinners and we need his love, then we are emptying ourselves, not us, but sin is emptying ourselves, and then God's love can come in us.
Men når vi giver vores synd til Gud, erkender den og bekender den, så er det, at Gud han begynder at skabe i os.
Yeah. Only when we abandon all efforts, really, to sort of force ourselves to love, then we can start to love truly.
Og faktisk er det sådan, at det er først, når vi giver op med at skulle tvinge os selv til at elske, det er først, når vi giver op med det, at Gud han så kan begynde at skabe det hos os.
Love starts, as we read in the beginning, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. Love starts there. It doesn't start with us. God loved us first, and then we can start to love others based on that love.
Det står i vers 2, hvor kærligheden begynder. Kærligheden begynder med, at Kristus elskede os og gav sig selv hen som for os som en gave og et offer til Gud, en livlig duft. Kærligheden begynder ikke med os, men begynder med Kristus.
And of course, we always have to take very seriously what God says in his law, like in the commandments. You know, there is no way around that. We cannot just ignore it easily, you know, dismiss easily.
Vi må altid tage Guds bud meget alvorligt. Vi må ikke ignorere det. Det kan vi heller ikke. Det er meget alvorligt.
And deep down we all know that the law of God is just and it's holy, you know. And if the world obeyed it, at least partially, you know, the world would be a completely different thing, you know. And God's law is going to last forever.
Dybest nede i os selv mærker vi jo også, at det er sandt, hvordan vi skal leve. Guds lov gælder, selvom også at mange i verden vil fornægte det, så er Guds lov, den er evig gyldig.
And the problem, of course, is not with the law, but the problem is with us when the law is applied to us.
Problemet er altså ikke Guds lov, problemet det er os. Nemlig når vi hører loven, så er det os, der måske afviser den.
Yeah, and it's interesting how Paul, in a sense, introduces here a diversion of thought, or how you actually can turn from things which are not helpful or sinful to God, in a sense. You know, of course. Please. Yeah.
Og det er godt at se her, hvordan Paulus han taler om to ting, og hvordan vores tanker kan vendes fra det ene, som er dårligt, til det andet.
So he lists those things that we shouldn't be doing, and then he adds, instead, let there be thanksgiving.
Han nævner fra vers 3 og hen til midt i vers 4 alt det, som vi ikke skulle gøre og tænke på. Og så nævner han modsætningen, derimod taksigelse.
In essence, Paul asks to turn from us to God, because you can be only thankful to somebody. Another person is introduced, so to say, in this whole thing.
Og taknemmelighed, det er jo altid noget, man har i en relation. Det har man i forhold til en anden person, og her er det så i forhold til Gud. Så fra at have alle de ting, vi er fyldt af på en dårlig måde, så vil Paulus vende vores tanker hen til den person, der nu introduceres, nemlig Gud, og så taknemmelighed.
Ja, yeah, it's like, don't do those things, but thanks God, you know, instead, you know, simple.
Yeah. Først var det, gør ikke det her, og så vendes tankerne hen til, tak i stedet Gud.
And I mentioned before that sometimes, of course, in this life we are burdened so much by so many things, and we often are so stressed out.
Vi er her i vores liv jo så meget under pres. Vi er under tryk. Vi skal udrette det ene og det andet.
And how do you really deal with those things? You know, they say that contemporary life is much, much more stressful than it was, let's say, 50 or 100 years ago. How do we deal with those challenges of life, you know, including actually the temptations, but stress of life? How do we deal with that?
Man siger, at mennesket I vores tid er under et større pres og tryk end tidligere. Og udover fristelserne, som også er nævnt her, så er der også alt det, som er en byrde i menneskelivet. Hvordan forholder vi os til det?
And there are so many, you know, meditation techniques nowadays, you know, a lot of emphasis on mindfulness, so to say, and yeah.
Der er mange teknikker, der tilbydes os for at hjælpe os, for eksempel mindfulness.
We have to be careful, in my opinion, there, because the whole paradigm quite often is based on, you know, Buddhist or Hinduist basis. You know, if we talk about meditation.
Og når vi taler om meditation, så skal vi være påpasselige, for meget af det, som mange af de teknikker, der tilbydes, de er baseret på hinduistisk eller buddhistisk baggrund.
And I'm not going to go detail into details with that because it's a different subject.
Jeg vil ikke gå ind I det, for det et helt andet emne.
But can we do something, you know, more helpful?
Men jeg vil spørge, kunne vi ikke gøre noget, der var til større hjælp?
And I shared yesterday that there is an app. I don't know how it's called in Apple Store, but in Android Play Store, it's called Gratitude Journal.
Fortalte også I går I Aarhus om, at der findes faktisk til smartphones en app, som hedder Journal for Taknemmelighed.
What you basically do there is, let's say when you're sort of in downward spiral of negative thoughts, stressed out and things like that, which sometimes we are.
Og når vi så fanget I den her nedadgående spiral, med stress og byrder og bekymringer og dårlige tanker.
What you just simply do, you put down three things that at that particular time you are grateful for.
Så tager du din mobiltelefon og så skriver du tre ting ned, som du taknemmelig for I det her øjeblik.
Yeah, the specialists say that they can substitute actually that kind of approach can substitute hours of meditation.
Og der faktisk nogen, der har sagt, at hvis man skriver sådan tre ting ned, som man takker for, så kan det erstatte tre timers meditation.
Because what's actually happening is that at that time, when you enter three things that you're thankful for, you're breaking this cycle of negative thoughts. You're thinking about something that is positive, you put it down, and that does the trick, actually.
Og der sker altså noget, når man skriver tre ting ned, som man glad for og taknemmelig over, så bliver den her spiral brudt, og det tricket.
Yeah, and I don't see any difficulties whatsoever from Christian point of view. There, you basically write down every day what you are thankful for. I mean, shouldn't we be thankful for all the time for all the things that we have from God?
Jeg kan ikke se, at der skulle være noget forgjort I at at være taknemmelig på den måde at bruge en app til det, for det jo også rigtig godt kristligt set.
Yeah, we see Paul also introducing this sort of different kind of thinking how we should think, you know, when we are facing all those things and troubles.
Så Paulus han hjælper os her til at imødegå alle de fristende ting og dårlige ting, nemlig han imødegår det med taksigelse.
Yeah, but the basis of all of that, how we actually as Christians function and why we function, and how we actually can love anybody whatsoever at all, is based on Christ loved us and gave himself for us, the fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Så der den der taknemmelighed i vers 4, og så der vers 2, som al kærlighed udspringer af og baseret på, nemlig Kristus elskede os og gav sig hen for os.
But please note, I'm not cancelling all those the demands in any way, you know, what Paul writes about. It's just that, you know, we have to distinguish them in the sense that one is law killing us, crushing us, asking perfection, and another is God's gospel that doesn't ask or require anything, just gives to us.
Og læg mærke til, at jeg sætter ikke nogen streg over de her meget stærke krav. De står fast, de knuser os, de stiller os under anklage. Det er det ene. Men det andet, det er, at Gud han i Jesus elsker os, og det er uden et eneste krav, det bliver givet os.
So now I'm turning to the second theme, which is, you know, how our churches are somehow similar, and I'm currently talking about Church of Lutheran Church in England and your church here in Denmark, Lutheran Church in Denmark, Free Church.
Og nu vil jeg så gå til det andet, jeg vil tale om, og det er om vores kirker, og med vores kirker tænker jeg altså på den evangelisk-lutherske kirke i England og jeres kirke.
And if I'm wrong, you correct me, but I think our major concern in both of our churches is really how do we survive, you know, how do we grow, how do we, you know, as Christian church, how do we really survive, you know, in this world which is sometimes hostile, openly hostile towards us, sometimes like neutral, like we wouldn't exist at all.
Og I må korrigere mig, hvis jeg tager fejl, men jeg forestiller mig, at vi er fælles om at tænke, at vores vores hovedsag, det er, hvordan overlever vi, og hvordan får vi evangeliet bragt ud til flere. Vi lever i en verden, hvor der er ligegyldighed og også nogle gange fjendskab.
And I've got my degree in missiology, everything related to mission, so I try to gather the church, and so we come together like with the lunches, bring and share lunches like today, and then we brainstorm, what could we possibly do?
Den afhandling, jeg lavede i forbindelse med min PhD, den handlede om mission, og det optager mig, og det er godt også at samle hinandens idéer og tanker omkring, hvordan vi missionerer.
And I didn't mention that in Aarhus, but for instance, my life might find it interesting. Once we decided, why don't we try to raise awareness about our church in Facebook? And it's not like advertising, really, but it's just raising awareness. We exist here.
Og så kunne det være, at nogen kommer med den idé. Skulle vi ikke bruge Facebook og få nogen til at lære os at kende gennem Facebook?
And in Facebook, it's interesting. You actually can target people that are, let's say, in miles, in 1 mile's radius around the church. You can target all the people using Facebook, let's say, in 1 mile radius around the church.
Og Facebook har en mulighed for, at man kontakter specielt dem, som er inden for en eller to kilometers afstand fra, hvor man selv er.
And it was quite interesting. We found out that Facebook also provides information, statistics. We found out that this raising of awareness reached 7,258 views.
Altså dem, som bruger Facebook, som bor inden for den afstand, dem kan man så kontakte. Og vi fandt ud af, i vores tilfælde, how many was it?
7,200 approximately.
Og de så, at i forbindelse derfor, hvor de bor, der var det omkring 700,000. Mennesker, som de kunne kontakte.
Yeah, at that particular time, I think it was invitation to Christmas services. We just said, you know, we exist and we invite you to the service.
Og vi skrev til dem alle sammen, at vi er der og der, og vi er dem og dem, og vi vil gerne invitere jer til julegudstjeneste.
And 7,200 were reached on the they saw whether on the computer screens or on the mobile devices, whatever, you know, the device they used.
Og et antal, how many?
7,200.
Ja.
But on all kinds of devices, you know.
Ja, altså de der 700,000. Var det 7,000? Yeah.
7,200.
200.
Yeah.
Men der var først var der flere, ikke?
Nej, det er kun inden for de der 2 kilometer,
okay. Så kan det. Så det
er. Ja. I mixed the figures. 7,200. Yeah. 7,200 mennesker, de kunne så på deres mobiltelefon, computer eller iPad, der kunne de så se den her indbydelse.
And that is quite impressive number, isn't it? No?
Og det er der mange.
So now I would like to ask you, how many did come actually to the services out of 7,200?
Og nu vil jeg så spørge jer, hvor mange tror I, der kom, vi inviterede, altså 7,200?
What are you showing there? You're right. That was like that. You know, it seems that some kind of other approach is necessary.
Der kom altså ingen.
Yeah, so...
Af 7,000 kom der ingen.
But sometimes that works in miraculous ways, really.
Gud, han arbejder på forskellige måder.
And now I can say that I haven't intended to be doing that, but somehow God brought that to me.
Nu har vi forsøgt det, og jeg regner ikke med at spille bruge Facebook mere på den måde.
And I was for, you know, quite regularly, because we are spending most of our times by the screens, you know, I went to the local fitness club.
Nu præster, de sidder tit bag ved en skærm, og så derfor går jeg noget en hel del i fitness.
I usually went at the same time of the evening, I then realized that I basically meet the same people there at that time.
Og så går jeg nu i fitnessklub, og der det samme tidspunkt på dagen, jeg kommer der, og så møder jeg også de samme mennesker, som jo har samme rutine som jeg har.
And in England it's so that you rarely actually get to talk to people, you know, that's a cultural thing, you know, you don't just walk on the street and ask, you know, and speak with somebody, because it's determined as a failure immediately, you know, you don't do that.
I England der kan man ikke bare på gaden gå hen og snakke med nogen, det er helt forfejlet, hvis man gør det, sådan skal man ikke.
And speaking in the underground or metro is a taboo completely.
Og hvis man kører underground eller metroen, så er det også et tabu at kontakte andre.
So you don't really get in contact with people, you know. You live in different universes in a sense. Although, you know, London is, I mean, 12 million people.
Selvom at vi er 12 millioner, det tal var rigtigt nok. mennesker i London, så lever vi faktisk i forskellige universer.
Yeah, but now. What is sort of culturally forbidden to do in the metro, you actually can do in sauna.
Men det, som er forbudt at gøre i metroen, sådan socialt set, det må man altså godt gøre i saunaen til fitness.
And there the cultural pressure is actually to talk.
Der er nærmest lagt pres på en, at man skal snakke.
And so it's happened, you know, you meet the same people, you know, and so on, and then you sort of naturally come, you know, the small talk, so to say, you know.
Og så sidder man der i saunaen sammen og sveder, og så så begynder man med den her small talk med hinanden.
And then they quickly learn who you are, you know.
Og de finder hurtigt ud af, hvem man er.
And then there is no pressure, really, you know, like to convince anybody or persuade anybody, you know. You can just inquire, you know, like easy going, so to say.
Der er ikke noget pres der. Man prøver ikke at overbevise nogen om noget som helst. Man kan bare på en enkel måde bare fortælle lidt om sig selv.
And I think the key is that there is really no pressure on anybody, because as soon as people somehow feel pressed or you know, they the immediate reaction is we don't need that, you know.
Og nøglen er her, det er, at der ikke er noget pres. For lige så snart, at man begynder at presse andre mennesker, så siger de, det gider jeg ikke.
And so it turned out, you know, last October, no, middle September, we had a couple, actually from the sauna, they got married, and they became Lutherans, they got confirmed, and they baptized their child in our church. Thank you.
Ja, og så skete det her i september, kontakt til nogen, der kom i saunaen, og det var en lille familie, mor, far og barn, og de blev døbt i menighed, også forældrene, og så også barnet blev døbt, fået undervisning. Og
Then the funny thing was really that they invited, you sort of don't expect that to happen, but then they invited many from the fitness club to their wedding, and so all of them, they came to church, you know.
Og så inviterede også dem, som nu blev medlemmer, de inviterede alle de andre fra fitnessklubben til deres bryllup. Så på den måde så kom alle fra fitnessklubben også til i kirke.
And so it goes, and currently I'm, let's say, in conversation with them. When I see them there, you know, they quite often ask, you know, some religious questions, you know, and that's working, you know, and currently, you know, one of them, they really want to know more, the, you know, to talk about commandments, so we are going to meet on a regular basis, and
så og de bliver ved med at spørge og også omkring loven, og så snakker vi om loven.
Yeah. But no, it's not that easy all the time, right?
Det er ikke bare for det her er let.
So there is one person there, it was a Muslim too, and he has this, I mean, all the subjects, I'm sorry ladies for mentioning that, but all the subjects that are introduced, he turns to, you know, to a sexual one, I'm sorry. But you can imagine how that can be, you know.
Der er også en mand i det her selskab i saunaen, som altid drejer alle emner ind på noget seksuelt. Og jeg er ked af det, at jeg skal nævne det.
It is getting much better than when it all started, you know. He, others, you know, are hitting, don't you understand, you talk to a priest, you know.
Og når den der mand, han så vil snakke om de der seksuelle ting, så påfører de andre til ham og siger, er du ikke klar, at du snakker med en præst?
And what my question to you would be, you know, what do you do? Should you continue? What do you do if that person, you know, he's turning all subjects to the one, you know, and always willing to talk about that, and he sort of, you know, in that way also grabs attention of others, you know, he is a bit of a, you know, obstacle, let's say.
Han prøver jo altid at vende emnet hen til det, som han er interesseret i her, og han er et problem i vores gruppe der. Hvad vil I sige til ham?
Yeah, and from our studies today, you know, from the Ephesians, you know, I think that law can be directly applicable to him, you know, in that sense.
Og hvis vi tænker på vores tekst i dag fra Efeserbrevet, så kunne man jo der sige nogle ting, som står her.
So, but what are your thoughts? What do you think?
Hvad tænker I?
What can be done then? You know, should I continue, you know, to talk and meet and somehow ignore him? Should I sort of try to stop him when he talks? You know, what are your opinions? Real case scenario, or real case situation, you know?
Det er nu altså et case study her.
Et case study, ja.
Hvordan skal jeg gøre? Vil I anbefale, at jeg siger til ham, nu skal du altså holde din mund, eller skal jeg... Hvordan vil I foreslå?
Er det til bibeltime, eller?
Det er til saunatur.
Saunatur, okay.
Ja. I fitness. You sit in the sauna.
Yeah, sauna, yes.
And that's the setting.
Yes, that is the setting, yes.
De sidder der sammen i saunaen, og manden, han prøver at...
But sometimes it goes further than that to the swimming pool and jacuzzi too.
Ja, altså man sidder i saunaen, så går man hen i swimming poolen, ikke, og så går man hen i tredje sted.
Yeah, but I'm curious. What do you think? Should I let it continue, or should I quit the whole, you know, thing, or well, that's a bit of an issue, you know. Help me. What should I do?
Hvad skal jeg gøre? Wolf.
Jeg vil jo sige, at det afhænger af, hvor godt man kender de andre, hvordan man reagerer i den situation. Hvis man kender dem godt, og de ved, hvem man er, og har talt med dem flere gange om andre ting, så kan man godt bede ham om at tie stille med det der, for det vi hører så tit.
It depends how good you know this man, if you know him well, you may also tell him you have said that very often. So now please silence.
To be honest, I have said that to him, and I know him. Can you imagine, let's say, if you regularly go, let's say, four times a week, on a regular basis, you meet with a person for 3 years. You sort of know him, right? You sort of, you know?
Altså, i det tilfælde her, der vi har gået der i saunaen sammen nu i flere år, to-tre gange om ugen, eller tre-fire gange om ugen, så det er jo, vi kender hinanden ret godt.
Yeah, in that sense, you know, you get familiar with persons, you know, and I have said that too, you know, and others are, and I'm actually saying the situation is improving in a sense, you know, but it's just that's the challenge, you know.
Jeg har prøvet at sige det, og så er der Gabriel.
I don't know if there's one answer. What I would ask is, why is he acting this way? Is it because he wants to be the class clown of the class?
In a sense, he truly is, but yeah.
Is it because he has a character flaw? Is it because he has an obsession with the subject? Yeah. So once we answer that question, I think then we can find a better strategy to approach it.
Good point.
What I found with friends that pop questions from out of the blue about the Bible and the non-believer. For example, one person brought up the fact that his parents were born out of wedlock, and he found a verse online from the Old Testament about how he's a bastard. And he asked me, does God think I'm a bastard? So that provided a plan to actually talk about the Bible.
Yeah.
So if you can use his obsession with sexual things, you say, well, actually, the Bible has quite a few stories about sexual things, you know, and then you can bring that into tie to depravity of man,
mm-hmm.
of course, without spending too much time on those bad stories, but bring one subject and then talk about depravity, and then what Christ has done to free us from that depravity.
Yeah.
So, tying with the gospel, but usually using his lines as a plank or as a chain towards bringing the gospel to him.
I'll translate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Good.
Gabriel, han siger, at man skal også lige tænke lidt over, er han, vil han gerne være klassens klovn, eller er han ligesom besat af det her tema? Og så nævner Gabriel også et andet eksempel. En, som var hans forældre, de havde fået ham før de var blevet gift, og så havde han spurgt, er jeg så en et uægte barn? Og der kunne man jo så sagtens tage nogle gode tekster frem i Bibelen, hvor der står om noget lignende, og hvordan at Gud så der viser os menneskets syndefald og også Guds kærlighed og Guds nåde og tilgivelse. Og på den måde kunne man måske også bringe sådan nogle tekster ind i saunaklubben og på den måde pege hen på evangeliet.
Yeah, thank you so much for your input, and this is exactly how we are working, you know, really. Not just me, you know, thinking the strategies or so, but we also have the bring and share lunches, and people are talking like that. Thank you so much. You see, you've got already strategy, really, you know, how to deal with that. Very good.
Det er dejligt, der er en strategi i de svar, som nu har været. Var der flere, Tanja?
But I would say, often you can feel if people just want to teach you, or they really have an interest.
Yes.
What do they want to get out of you?
Yeah.
As a,
are you asking that to me, or are you?
No. Oh. That's what I. I can't find the word. That's my state. I think I can. Usually, I can feel what people want to.
Right.
And normalt kan man føle, hvad det er folk vil, om de bare vil gøre nej, eller om de er interesseret i noget. And for example, in my where I play tennis, tennis with a woman who's older than me, quite older, and she is a lesbian, but it doesn't matter. Jeg vil sige, at der hvor jeg spiller tennis, der spiller jeg blandt andet med en kvinde, som er noget ældre end mig, og som er lesbisk. And the other day, she just said to me, "You are manipulated." Do you say so?
Manipulated, yes.
You're just manipulated. And I was just like, and I know I am wiser than her, so I can easily see actually who is manipulated. But I also know she can't get it, and I know it's not good. It's no good use.
Mm-hmm.
And I know God can defend himself. So I was just like, because it was just because I said something about church. I don't know what I said. Nothing about lesbian, nothing. I said something that I believe in God. I don't know what it was. And she just said, yes, it was about my siblings. Why are you all going to church? You're manipulated.
I see.
And I know it's no good use. I know when it's no good use trying to defend God.
Yes,
he can defend himself.
Right.
And
right.
So in days of saying to mig, hvad så med dine søskende? Jamen, I går alle sammen i kirke, så må I være manipuleret med. Og jeg ved bare, at jeg kan godt begynde at argumentere for, hvorfor jeg ikke mener, at vi er manipuleret med. Og jeg måske mener, hun er lige så manipuleret. Men Gud, han kan godt forsvare sig selv. Og hvis man står for et menneske, og man ved, jeg ved så uendelig, jeg har læst så uendelig meget mere, så nytter det ikke noget at begynde. Så jeg er bare sådan, all right, jeg er manipuleret med. Let's go on, I'll show up. And then you can just show up, and that's it. But of course, if he goes on and on and on, but Jesus was also sometimes hard, and he said,
yeah, well, I'll turn the tables, right, in
yeah.
the money changers.
Yeah.
Should I turn the tables, you know?
Det sidste, Tanja sagde, det var, at Jesus, han er også nogle gange hård, så han sætter en grænse.
Yeah. But,
og det andet har du oversat. Ja, Gabriel og Rolf igen. Gabriel.
It's important for us to understand how serious the person is, the one who's on the conversation. Unfortunately, like Jesus, we cannot read people's hearts.
We
could not read people's heart like Jesus could.
Of course, yes. That's true. And also the honest truth is that you, for some people, you can just, you know, you can speak in tongues of angels, you know, and they are not gonna listen to you. It's just impossible. And that happened with Jesus too. I mean, really, many left him. It was not like, you know, like we cannot find, I think, you know, the magical sort of potion, you know, that we feed and they become believers. People still can reject it.
Gabriel siger, at Jesus han havde den fordel frem for os, at han kunne læse folks hjerter, og det kan vi ikke. Og så siger Pastor Ditzis, at ja, og Jesus blev også nogle gange afvist af folk, og de forlod ham også, og han talte, og de ville slet ikke høre på det. Så han var også ud for det, som Tanja nævner. Og så er det Rolf.
Det er bare, jeg har den erfaring. Hvis du sidder i et, skal vi sige, ikke kristeligt selskab eller med venner, som ikke er specielt kirkeinteresseret eller troende overhovedet, så er den erfaring, at hvis de ved, du er kristen, så bliver deres sprog et andet. De ligesom tager sig i det, og deres seksuelle vittigheder bliver knap så voldsomme. Altså, de dæmper sig selv, når de ved faktisk, der sidder en, bare en, der ikke synes, det er så smart.
It's my experience that when you are together with other people and they know you are a Christian, then they may not speak the same way, not so hard about sexual issues. They may be more polite. Because even if you don't say anything, they think, okay, he is here. We will not say talk so harshly.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
You have a word for that?
As I mentioned before, there is definitely some improvement, and I hope my wife is the witness of that. You know, that, and the, no, but actually,
Hans-Sia,
the ladies are around. He sort of manages himself.
Han siger, at der er lidt bedring, og det kan min kone sikkert bekræfte. Så siger hun, nej, det kan hun ikke bekræfte.
But on the other hand, I think we need to understand that basically, if we are Christians or pastors, you know, we shouldn't be having any sort of advantages, really, you know. We shouldn't sort of position ourselves, in a sense, you know, above. And I'm not saying that you're doing or anything, but we are equals, you know. I would say the basics where we start from, we are equals. I listen to you, you listen to me, you know, and so.
Jeg vil sige, at det er vigtigt, at også vi præster, at vi ikke tænker, at vi har en højere status end dem, vi taler med. Vi er på samme niveau. Du er den, og jeg er den, og så snakker vi på samme niveau.
Yeah, and that corresponds, for instance, with kenotic theology, Apostle knows, but let's say in Philippians, when Christ says he took a form of servant, you know, he emptied himself, in a sense. He didn't, you know, pretend to be God.
Ja, vi kan også her tænke på Filipperbrevet kapitel 2, hvor der står, at Jesus han gav afkald, og han udtømte sig selv og blev menneskerlig. Og det er også et forbillede for os, at vi skal give afkald.
Yeah, and for me probably it is a good thing that you don't sit in sauna with your collar shirt, right? You usually don't do that, you know. So I'm just a regular guy there, you know.
Det er meget godt, at når jeg sidder i saunaen, at jeg så ikke har min præsteskjorte på, men jeg er ligesom de andre. There was also another question.
Yes, please.
I just want to continue up on what I said last, related to Tommy's comment. I think even though we can have in people's hearts, we can definitely use a snark. We can use snark.
Snark?
Snark. Like, what do you call it? Sarcasm.
Oh, that kind of. Okay.
I've noticed, for example, online, like on YouTube comments, for example, on Facebook, Christians will come from an apologetic angle.
When
they do have non-Christians writing comments that are very, like, downvote, or, you know, like, you're just ignorant, or just very negative comments. Of course, we can use these moments of strong emotion to actually say something and not be silent.
Yeah.
We don't have to actually throw a book at them with information.
Yeah.
But we can use our Danish sarcasm to actually make them to have a moment that they will remember, for example. So what do you say back to them? You know, of course, as 1 Peter 2:18 says, we should defend our faith with gentleness and kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sarcasm sometimes works in these situations where people feel like, okay, I didn't expect an answer, but so we can make them think through sarcasm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Gabriel siger, at når man bliver mødt af sådan meget modstand, så kunne man også nogle gange benytte sig af sarkasme. Vi skal gøre det venligt, men hvis man kommer med en sarkastisk udtalelse, kan det være, at de bemærker den særligt, og at de husker det. Hvad er det?
Yeah. And to be honest, I am sometimes a bit, you know. But then the
humor.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm challenging sometimes, you know. But do you always really have to talk like that? You know, do you have to? You know, like things like that. Yeah.
Man kan også bruge humor, og jeg har også samtidig sagt, behøver du altid at lige snakke om det her emne?
Yeah. Thank you.
Tak for det. Lars.
Ja, altså det som hjertet er fyldt af, det flyder munden som bekendt over med. Og jeg ved ikke om det ene er værre end det andet. Altså nogen de sidder og taler meget om penge og handler og alt muligt, biler og jeg ved ikke hvad. Og fuldstændig absolut gav. Den kan man sådan nogen begå sig i. Men så kommer man over i det der seksuelle. Det er lidt svært, fordi det er sådan enmands. Der er en eller anden mangel inden for den mands liv, sikkert. Det er jo svært at gøre noget ved, men man må lige begå sig i det, ligesom man skal begå sig i det. Der er jo de andre tilfælde. Men jeg ved ikke, om det er enig i at være en anden. Det tror jeg ikke, det er. Det er bare en egenskab, som man har fået på grund af sin driftsknive, eller sin tankegang, og har bygget det. Og jeg ved det.
Lars is mentioning greed.
Greed
could also be a topic for people. They talk about their new car, they talk about economics, they talk about trade and everything, and that's so obsessed by it, and they couldn't talk about anything else.
Right.
But it's more easy to communicate in these topics,
yes,
with
true.
for us.
Yeah.
But if it comes to sexual thoughts, it's more difficult. But it's
maybe the other things about trade and economics and money, it's just as bad as the sexual topics, like Paul also
it
says.
It can be idolatry, really, yeah, too, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a comment on that? You have
I totally agree that it is both cases, you know, like he can be challenging both cases, but I think idolatry, if it's there, you know, it is still the same thing, you know, regardless of the topic. I think, yeah, if it is a god that is taking, that has taken the place of a true god, you know, it asks or demands to serve anyhow. So I totally agree.
Ja, det er meget vigtigt, det der, som bliver sagt. Og hvis det bliver til en afgudsdyrkelse eller en afgud for mennesker, så er det jo lige så slemt det ene som det andet.
Yes, and I also agree that that particular topic, it is harder, you know, to deal with that, because, well, the Bible is quite clear on that, you know, really very clear. And on the other hand, well, but we have never been promised that our life here will be easy, right? So we are having all kinds of challenges, of course.
Bibelen taler jo meget klart om både det med penge og også med det seksuelle. Men det er ikke let for os at kommunikere omkring de ting.
Right. Tanya? Just say one thing, because you said that we should be equal, everyone is equal in this world.
Du sagde, at alle er lige, og vi skulle være på samme niveau.
I read that C.S. Lewis said that pride is worse than sexual sins.
Og jeg husker, at C.S. Lewis, han har sagt, at stolthed, det er værre end seksuelle synder.
And pride is like it's in everyone, I guess. I guess mm-hmm. It's not just me, so it's really like you can't.
Absolutely, and not just C.S. Lewis. Luther would very emphatically say the same. That actually all our troubles are coming from arrogance, including the you know those topics. You know, yeah, the arrogance is basically that's why, for instance, all the small catechism, let's say explanation of the Bible, explanation of the commandments, they always start, you should love, fear and love God. You know, so basically the arrogance is excluded there.
Martin Luther, han vil også sige det samme, at den værste synd, det er arrogancen, at man sætter sig selv øverst. Og det er også det, som Martin Luther jo siger i forklaringen til de 10 bud, hvor han til hvert eneste bud siger, vi skal frygte og elske Gud, så, og så kommer det. Så det vigtigste er, at Gud bliver Gud, og ikke os. Mm-hmm. Godt.
Ja. Yeah. Anything else regarding this theme? If not, I
do
can
we know how to do it now?
To do what, pardon?
Yeah, how to do your sauna mission.
All right. Well, yeah. Well,
let's talk about football. That's the most popular subject.
Sorry. You might move the subject from sexual things to football.
All right, yeah. But then the difficulty is that I'm not actually keen on football. I would be losing every single argument, you know, there in
you
this
have
team.
To be careful in sauna, you know, because there somebody might be Liverpool, yeah, and somebody Manchester, yeah, and then it's already quite hot in a sauna. Can you imagine?
Ja, nu bliver så et problem, hvis det er fodbold, så er der nogen på den ene bænk, der er Liverpool-fans, og den anden bænk, som er Manchester-fans, og så står de hinanden i gæld.
But when we spoke about this, that everybody is equal, what I meant is really that we are equal partners of the conversation, right? I don't have any advantage in that sense, you know? We can rationally speak about, you know, and people are actually listening in the sense of, and I try to, when I speak with them, I try to include in my speech the word of God, let's say, you know, not saying it's Mark 16:16, for instance, you know, but just, you know, for instance, yeah, can you believe it's so easy? Everybody who believes and is baptized will be saved, you know, you can easily include that in conversation, you know.
Det som jeg mente med, at man skal være på samme niveau, det er altså, at man taler, ja, men man
jeg står ikke over nogen andre. Jeg siger det, som jeg tænker, og de siger, som de tænker. Og når jeg så prøver at bringe bibelvers ind, så citerer jeg jo ikke og siger, det står i Markus kapitel 16, vers 16, men jeg siger i stedet for, at men i den kristne tro, der er det, at den, som tror og bliver døbt, han skal frelses, står der. Og på den måde citerer jeg.
And I remember one member was actually, in my opinion, really caught, and it's not my doing, really, it's just Lord's doing.
Og jeg vil nævne, at et af mine medlemmer, han var virkelig fanget, og det var ikke min, det var ikke min fortjeneste.
And he once asked me, you know, like a deeper question, why do you wake up in the morning? You know, why?
Og det her medlem, som følte sig bundet og fanget, han stillede spørgsmålet, præst, hvorfor vågner du op om morgenen? Hvad er meningen?
And I openly said, and I really think that it is like that my calling in essence really is to proclaim the forgiveness.
Og der sagde jeg til ham, jeg står op om morgenen, for min opgave det er at forkynde tilgivelse.
No, we've been given the keys of the not the keys of the office, but the office of the keys. This is our calling, you know, and if it leads to that, you know, to the forgiveness of sins, you know, then I have in that sense fulfilled my calling, you know.
Og vi som er præster, vi har ikke fået nøglen til kontoret, men vi har fået embeds nøgler til at tilgive andre med. Vi skal bruge nøglerne til mennesker og så løse dem fra deres synder.
And it was obvious that he, I don't think he has ever thought in that way, you know, that giving the forgiveness can be sort of meaning life of somebody, you know.
Og jeg tror ikke, han havde tidligere tænkt over det, at det giver virkelig mening at leve, når at ens opgave er at give Guds tilgivelse videre.
And when you introduce those subjects, deeply Christian subjects, in the conversation, well, I think they always leave some effect, you know. They're always, you know, like the God's word, really, you know, the one who we hear the word of God, they hear the word of God, and that is what converts people.
Og det er virkelig til velsignelse, når at Guds ord kommer på banen, og vi nævner lidt fra Guds ord, som der også står her, salige er de, som hører Guds ord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to ask or comment? Regarding this topic?
Er der andre kommentarer til det her emne?
Yes.
Are there other Lutheran churches in the UK besides Confessing churches?
Er der andre lutherske kirker i England udover den evangeliske lutherske kirke?
Well, there is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Well, I'm part of that. But then there is also LCHGP, so-called Lutheran Church in Great Britain, right? Yeah. But it is much smaller than the ELC, I would suppose, like you also know, there is distinction, you know, sometimes between the churches that have actually, as you say, as I would say, you know, they have contextualized the message to the degree that it's not recognizable.
Der er udover vores kirke i England også en mindre kirke, som hedder den lutherske kirke i England, og den har så færre medlemmer, og forskellen på dem og os, det er, at de har i deres forsøg på at forkynde evangeliet, så har de sat det ind i konteksten, ind i den verslige sammenhæng, og der har de skadet det budskab, som de egentlig ville forkynde.
And that is the Lutheran Church, as you know, that Lutheran churches can be like that, that for instance would, you know, be very open, you know, to the same-sex marriages, you know, and female pastors and things like that. So that type of Lutheran church also is, but it is, to be honest, it's really small, yeah, in Great Britain. But it is still official church.
Okay. Det kirkesamfund, det har så for eksempel også gået med på, at personer af samme køn kan blive viet i deres kirke, og de har også kvindelige præster i den kirke, men det er et mindre kirkesamfund end ELC. How many members do you have in ELC?
Well, they say active members that are fee paying is about more than 1,000, they say.
Det er omkring lige lidt over 1,000 medlemmer, som er i den evangelisk lutherske kirke i England.
Altså and they have 14 congregations.
Der er 14 menigheder.
Is that what you asked? Yes.